Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Okay, are we on now? I believe so. Okay, fantastic. I was just saying that if everybody was on site, I would get everyone to give Jess a great big hand, and I would also get everyone to give our Gateway Online team a great big hand as well. I just want to say to our team, well done, and I'm so proud of you, as I know the Gateway family are also just very proud of you. So I want to say also thank you for joining Gateway Online today. And we're coming to you live because we want to share this moment together with you. And on the subject of sharing, if you haven't already, would you please consider sharing the love by sharing this broadcast, because you just don't know what God might do with one share. And before we move on today, I just want to send out a greeting on behalf of Gateway Life Church to all of our neighboring churches in Albury-Wodonga, throughout Northeast Victoria and the Riverina, New South Wales. We just want to send out a great big God bless you. And we also want to say thank you so much for all that you're doing in the community. And on the subject of bringing greetings, I also want to send love and blessings to Gateway Life Church in Busia County, Kenya, Africa, to Pastor Dixon and his family, and also to Pastor Sharif and his family in Okara City, Pakistan. And of course, Jindra, the mighty township of Jindra, a town that we love so much. A big hello to Shirley and Sharon and Julie, the Piltzers and the rest who call Gateway Online their church home. And so let's pray and get into God's word. And so, Father, even though we can't be on site today, I thank you for this technology and that we can be online. And I pray that you would use me today as your mouthpiece to communicate heaven on earth on this Good Friday service, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection takes place over 3 days. And a lot can happen in just 3 days. In fact, as a prayer ministry here at Gateway, we're believing concerning you for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place over the next 3 days, which will be a testimony to God's love for you, that He's with you, and that He's working in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, we read the words of the Apostle Paul, and he said, "For what I received, I passed on to you." You know, that is a discipleship moment for everybody right there. The Apostle Paul is saying that what I have freely received, I am now freely passing on to you. He went on to say that this is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Friday was full of pain, suffering, and agony. Saturday was full of loss, doubts, and misery. And Sunday was full of joy, celebration, and victory. And the truth is this, that in all of our lives, we're going to encounter one of these days in our lives over and over and over again. In actual fact, it could be that you move from a Friday to a Saturday, back to Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday, until we move into victory on Sunday. And it is highly likely that someone watching me right now is going through either a Friday or a Saturday, a time of agony or misery. And if I'm talking to you, then I know that you have one question on your mind, and that one question is this: how do I move into victory? And so I'm going to bring a short teaching today about what Jesus did in the worst day of His life, so that we too will know what to do in the worst days of our life. Firstly, I really do believe that it's important to be rest assured that Jesus understands pain. And he also understands your pain. Furthermore, he understands what it's like to be lonely. He understands rejection. He understands abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and physical abuse. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read that this high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses. He understands our frailties, for he faced all of the same testings and trials as we do, yet he was without sin. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 reads, because he himself, Jesus, suffered when he was tempted, he is now able to help those who are also being tempted. And so what do we do in our greatest days of agony and of misery? Well, it's always good, I believe, to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before us and successfully overcome the things that we find ourselves going through. And of course, there are no better footsteps to follow in than in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we read, because Christ also suffered for us, he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But let's turn now to what we call Gateway Word of the Week, which is found in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 39, and we read, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here. In another version, it says, stay with me while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. Perhaps someone watching me right now feels anguished and distressed. And he told his disciples, which I think is absolutely amazing. He says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. In this one passage alone, Jesus does two things on the last day of his earthly life. Number one, he reaches out to his friends. And number two, he reaches out to God in prayer. And for a few moments today, we're going to focus on three elements of Jesus' prayer. I'd like to call these three elements of Jesus' prayer today, praying Gethsemane prayers. But number one, in Jesus' greatest need, he reaches out to his friends. This actually amazes me, because even the Son of God needed friends around him in the middle of his greatest pain. And this is actually the exact opposite of what we tend to do in life. Because usually we back out of relationships, we retreat, we withdraw, and our social circles become smaller and smaller. We back out because we don't want others to see our vulnerabilities. We don't want others to see our weaknesses or our pain, because we feel ashamed. And perhaps you're someone who was just told as a young person, perhaps by a parent, a coach or a peer, perhaps growing up you were just told to suck it up. And I just want to say that if that's what you've been told throughout all of your life, I want to say that that's wrong, and that there are times where we need to express what's happening on the inside of us, just as Jesus did, and not repress our emotions. Furthermore, I want to say that if you have been told that most of your life, it really is because you're either your parent or your peer or that coach or that teacher never actually knew themselves how to handle pain in their life, let alone your pain. But this is not what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus is so gut level, open and honest about his pain, to the point that he says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. This actually amazes me, because you would think to yourself that if anyone had, you know, all of the faith and all of the spirituality and all of the maturity to just write out something, it would have been Jesus. But no, he doesn't feel like he needs to hold it together. He doesn't have to repress what he's really feeling. Again, he is gut level honest as he expresses how he feels. And so the last thing that Jesus did on his last day on earth was to gather his friends. And this is also known as the ministry of presence. And you know, sometimes the most important thing that you and I can do for someone is to just be there. Sometimes just being there and not saying a word is enough. And there's been times in my life where I haven't needed a sermon, I haven't needed an assessment, I haven't needed a judgment, a critique, or the moral police, because there are times when you just need the right people to be present, reminding you, saying, hey, it's going to be okay, and we're going to get through. In fact, whatever you're going through, I want to say to you today that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're doing better than you think, and you're going to get through. Furthermore, I want to declare to the storm that you might find yourselves in the midst of, that this storm that has come in your life, it has come to pass. This storm, this season, this emotion, this feeling that you're currently experiencing, it has come to pass. Furthermore, I want to encourage you to be careful in the midst of a storm and never make a permanent decision throughout a temporary emotion. And this is why we call today Good Friday, as my wife, Pastor Trina, was saying, because we focus on Resurrection Sunday. We call it Good Friday because we think forward to the future, because we understand that Jesus' life didn't end on the cross, it began on the cross, and what you might think is the end is only the beginning. But I understand also that it's possible that there are people watching me right now, and you're like, but if only I had some friends to reach out to. Well, I just want to say that I'll be your friend. Hey, I'm not saying that we can be besties, but I am saying that I can be there to pray with you. I can be someone who'll just sit and listen to you over the phone, perhaps now, or via Zoom. My wife will be your friend. We've got plenty of people here at Gateway who are happy to be your friend. But perhaps you're not at that level just yet. And so I want to recommend, if you need to talk to someone, but you want to exercise some anonymity, I want to recommend two great organizations right now. There are people that you can talk to, and you can remain anonymous. And those two organizations are on the screen right now. One of them is Lifeline. You can call them on 1-3-1-1-4 or Beyond Blue, 1-300-22-4636. Number two today, Jesus reaches out to God in prayer. And what we're going to look at for a few moments is just three elements to that prayer. And I want to teach you today how to pray Gethsemane prayers. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Point number one today, Jesus acknowledges God as his Father. He is saying, "Father, I am yours and you are mine. And I know that all things are possible," because Jesus taught on this. He said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Point number two, Jesus announces his desire to his Father. He says, "God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. God, if it is possible, is there another way except the way that I need to go through right now?" And the third element to his prayer, point number three, Jesus affirms his trust in God, his Father, when he says, "Father, nevertheless, not as I will." I don't want my will, I want your will. How many times do we need to pray with these three elements in mind? Well, in verse 44, we know that Jesus prayed this prayer a third time. But I would just like to submit to you that we pray this prayer as often as we need to. I'd also like to recommend that when we come to God to ask for His will, let's not come into His presence having already made up our mind, but let's get the mind of God our Father. And so after this, Jesus is arrested. He is trialed, convicted, and crucified for the sins of the world next to criminals upon a cross. He is buried, and now we move into the Saturdays of life. And point number three today is reach out to God's promises and hold on. The Saturdays of life are full of days of loss, doubts, and misery. The Saturdays of life ask questions like, why did this happen? How did this happen? You know what I'm talking about. It's the what ifs of life. Imagine what the disciples were thinking on Saturday. They were full of misery, and they would have been asking themselves and one another, what if we had stopped Judas leaving the table at the Last Supper? What if we hadn't all scattered and left Jesus alone to be crucified? And in the Saturdays of life, where everything seems silent and at a standstill, it's in these days that we need to remember the promises of God so that we never doubt in the dark what God has revealed in the light. And I want to encourage you today to become a promise person. Become a promise person, because there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But the problem is this. If you don't know what the promises are, if you can't name them, then you can't claim them. It's actually like a story that I heard once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was an elderly woman who rang her insurance agency, and she goes, I'm a little embarrassed because I can no longer afford my husband's life insurance. The agency replied and said, ma'am, what is the date? What is your husband's date of birth? And she goes, oh, my husband passed away 5 years ago. The agency replied, ma'am, this is not about you paying a price any longer, but this is all about you claiming what rightfully now belongs to you because the price has been paid. And this is how so many people live in their faith life, where they're paying for things that they ought to be claiming because Jesus has paid the price for everything. You know, right before Jesus died, he gave the disciples a promise, a great promise. And before we go to a video, I'm going to read to you from John chapter 16, verse 20. And Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and you will lament, and the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow, and I'm declaring this over someone's life right here today. I'm not sure who this is for, but I can feel just the Spirit of God touching someone in their heart, right in their home. And he says, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to her child, she no longer remembers the pain or the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will be able to take from you. You know, I have joy in my heart, and those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and who have made Jesus their Lord and Savior, there's actually a joy in their heart that the world can't take away. And the reason why the world can't take it away is because the joy didn't come from the world. It came from the Lord. So let's recap just quickly. The way that we move from agony and misery into victory is to, number one, reach out to your friends. Number two, reach out to God and pray Gethsemane prayers. And number three, reach out to God's promises and hold on. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it's a passage that we all love. Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And before I give someone the opportunity today to respond to Jesus Christ for salvation, we have a video that we would like to show you. So let's take a look at that right now. Thank you.
You need not say goodbye. The people will shout my name. Pilate will tell them there's nothing I've done to deserve this, but they will refuse. Pilate will stand me beside Barabbas, a murderer, and they will choose him over me. Pilate will appeal to the priest, insist on simply whipping me to appease their fury, but they will shout it louder, "Crucify! Crucify!" But still, you need not say goodbye. My hands will be tied to a post. The sound of the whip will ring in your ears and in your chest. The soldiers will peel the skin off my back. A ring of thorny branches will be pressed into my scalp until the blood runs into my eyes. Oh, but listen. You need not say goodbye. I will carry that cross. I will go to the place of the skull, and there they will drive the iron stakes between the bones in my wrist with a hammer that will nail my feet into the tree. I will be raised up as the world waits for me to die. Nevertheless, you need not say goodbye. Between two thieves I will hang. You may hear me speaking to my Father, your Father. You may hear me ask him, "Why?" But child, you need not say goodbye. What you won't see, what you won't hear, what you won't know until all of this is done, is that in that moment, I was paying the penalty of your wrongdoing, every mistake, every act of envy, every word of hatred, every moment of violence and greed and spite, every selfish desire, every lustful thought, every moment of weakness and weariness, all the failures of human history will be in my hands. And on that cross, I will suffer the wrath that was destined for you. Every guilty verdict fallen on me, your punishment will be paid for in my blood, and it will be enough. I will die on your cross. I will let out a final sigh. Know that I have loved you, and you need not say goodbye. But if you must, if you absolutely must say the word goodbye, then say it like this: goodbye, fear. Goodbye, sorrow. Goodbye, rejection. Goodbye, shame. Say it like this: goodbye, guilt. Goodbye, condemnation. Goodbye, all the regrets of the past. Look up at the cross and speak the words: goodbye, addiction. Goodbye, chains. Goodbye, hopelessness. Right here in this place, say it aloud: goodbye, captivity. Hello, freedom. Goodbye, loneliness. Hello, belonging. Goodbye, defeat. Hello, victory. This is the end of the curse. This is the demise of the serpent. This is all debts paid. This is, it is finished. Goodbye, all the powers of hell. Goodbye, darkness. Goodbye, dread. Goodbye, every sin. Go ahead and say it. Goodbye, death.
Speak. Be free. But don't say goodbye to me. Yes, you'll see them put the spear in my side. But remember, it's only Friday. So, you need not say goodbye.
I'd like to do right now is something that is actually more important than anything else that we've done today. And I simply want to take a moment to give someone the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to pray a prayer. It's a very simple prayer, but it's a prayer that needs to be prayed with belief and with faith in your heart. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 reads, and this is great news, this is good news, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I just want to take a moment to very simply lead you through a prayer. The way that we're going to pray today is that I'm going to pray a line, and then I will get you to repeat after me. We're going to pray very, very simply. And this prayer is all about just simply saying, Father, would you forgive me and cleanse me from all of our sins? You know, in a world where we're encouraged at this time to self-isolate and socially distance ourselves from one another, I just want to say that we serve a God whose name is Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel translated means God with us. And even though I'm sitting here live right now, and you are where you are, and there's something that separates us in the natural, I just want to say that because the whole world is in the palm of God's hand, nothing separates us in the supernatural. And so God is with you. He's present with you right now. And, you know, we're also being encouraged to wash regularly, wash our hands, and we should do so. But what about a washing and a cleansing of the heart? What about a cleansing on the inside? You know, and praying this prayer is going to wash something clean on the inside of all of us. And so, if you know that what I'm saying right now is for you, I would invite you to pray this prayer after me. Are you ready to pray? Pray this prayer after me. Dear Father in heaven, I humbly ask you this day that you would forgive me of all my sins, and that you would cleanse me from all wrongdoing. I ask you that you would heal me of all my pain. I acknowledge this day that Jesus is Lord, He is my Savior and my healer. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every single person who prayed that prayer. I thank you that you know them and that you love them. Lord, every single one of us have given you tens of thousands of reasons for you not to love us. But not one of those have been enough to change your mind concerning us. And that you love us unconditionally, tenderly, and eternally. So, Lord, I thank you that your blessing rests upon my brother and my sister's house right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to close our broadcast now, I just want to say that we'd love to get in touch with you. And as Jess was saying earlier, If this is your first time to Gateway Online and you would like prayer or would like to learn more about our vision and our mission as a church, because the vision and the mission, it doesn't change. Even though we can't be on site, the mission and the vision continues. There's no question about that. But if you would like to know more, then please Facebook message us at Gateway Life Church with the word guest. Or you can email us, and that'll be coming through soon. And if you got a praise report, or if you gave your life to Jesus today and prayed that prayer, would you please let us know? We would be thrilled to hear from you. So I just want to say, on behalf of Pastor Trina, the team here, and myself, I want to say Happy Easter. God bless you so much. I saw just earlier that one of our elders, Mark Waite, has OD'd on hot cross buns. And so we'll be praying for him. But no, just have a great day. And we look forward to seeing you on Resurrection Sunday, 10 a.m. this Sunday, Gateway Online. God bless you so much and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.